First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We start with the headlines that you need to know, and we'll start with a breaking headline here. I'll go to Field Yates on Twitter, has tweeted, on a call today with COO Jeffrey Pollock, XFL employees were just informed that the league is suspending operations and all employees have been laid off. Another sport impacted further by the COVID-19 crisis. So at this point, we know that they've suspended operations, and all employees have been laid off from the XFL. Remember, in their first statement, after their season had been canceled, the quote was, the XFL is committed to playing a full season in 2021 and future years. That was at the time, but we now know that according to their COO, the league is suspending operations. All employees have been laid off. Speaking of COVID-19 complications, as information gathering on draft-eligible prospects remains limited for the NBA, NBA teams are united in hopes of encouraging the league office to push the date of the draft from June 25th to no sooner than August 1st. So we've seen the NFL sort of draw a line in the sand and say they are not touching the draft. Well, NBA teams are trying to get their league to reconsider that and push it back. We'll see where that goes from there. And lastly, in the world of trademarks, we expected the monetization of Tom Brady to be a part of his trip to Tampa Bay. In fact, we all know that his agent sought to trademark the phrase TBXTB upon the arrival, but now they are trying to trademark also Tampa Bay. That's right, Tampa Bay instead of Tampa Bay. So we'll see where that goes as the monetization of Tom Brady to the Buccaneers continues. Remember, as has been tweeted several times over the last 48 hours, the Bucs are already making money hand over fist in New Jersey sales and merch sales, knowing that Tom Brady's going to be there. It's First Take, your take. I'm Jason Fitz. We're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Let me say, happy Friday. I know a lot of you guys have forgotten what day of the week it is. So many of us are locked into our homes. We're not getting any human interaction. I want to remind you, it is Friday. So have a happy Friday. Find something you can do today to bring your joy up, to bring your spirits up a little bit. It's Friday. So smile and enjoy it. Remember when Friday meant everything. 888-SAY-ESPN. We want you getting involved. Obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about the Houston Texans, who have now gone out and acquired Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver from the Rams. That's on the heels of trading away DeAndre Hopkins. So they somehow made trades that lessened them at wide receiver, at least in the eyes of many. So that has me thinking, what's the worst trade your favorite team's ever made? 888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776. Tell me about the trade. Tell me the moment you heard it went down. Tell me about your reaction to it. I want all of that. As I will tell you, I'll never forget. I was on ESPN Radio as a guest on a different show at night the night before when I said there is 0% chance, hear me now, 0% chance that the Raiders will trade Khalil Mack. And I gave my whole logic to it. The next day I wake up, I look at my phone and I'm trying to figure out what happened in the world that I have hundreds of texts. And it was all because my beloved Raiders had done the unthinkable, and I'd managed to make even more of a butt out of myself than usual on radio by being so dogmatic that it wouldn't happen about 12 hours before it actually went down. That was my worst trade from my favorite team. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The worst trade your favorite team's ever made. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Give me the stories. I want to hear them now. We'll get through it together. We're going to start with some Straight Talk Wireless. They have the cell phone, full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. It's just $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. And the Straight Talk comes in reaction to what I'm not shocked by. UFC 249. We've been talking about Fight Island. What's it going to mean? Is it going to happen? How would it go down? Well, we now know that they have canceled UFC 249. The question is, you know, what is the reaction to that? First Take, Stephen A. and Max reacted to Dana White and UFC canceling UFC 249.
Well, my first reaction is that I don't necessarily agree with the decision. I respect it. I totally understand where it's coming from. Me personally, I would have liked to have seen him try it. For a lot of reasons that Max himself had articulated over the last several weeks in terms of the two combatants and the official in the octagon are the people that you would be most worried about. There wouldn't be any fans in attendance. And if you were able to pull off something like this in a successful way, then ultimately it might give other sports the courage to follow you. Certainly not immediately, but in the coming weeks, number one. Number two, you know, it's above my pay grade. I don't understand why the decision came down now as opposed to a week ago, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Dana White's been going off about this for quite a while, talking about he was going to have this event. Why did it take this long to come to this decision? Again, that's above my pay grade. That's for somebody else to answer. But ultimately, when I look at it, I totally understand where Dana White is coming from. I totally understand where ESPN is coming from in terms of the ultimate decision that is made, because we're still not out of the woods with this. There are still so many unanswered questions that exist in regards to this coronavirus, in regards to testing, and obviously from an optics perspective with the nation at a halt right now on so many levels, not just in the world of sports, but beyond, everywhere in the world of business, especially. The bottom line is you can't sit up there and dismiss the decision or decry it or criticize it in any way. I'm just saying that if I had a preference, it would have been interesting to see if this were pulled off and if it were pulled off in a successful fashion, because I think had that happened, then that would give folks the confidence and the hope that something would be resolved sooner than later.
I think that's exactly why it didn't happen, Stephen A. First of all, that takes a lot for Disney and ESPN. And I know, listen, that is my employer. So you can take it with a grain of salt if you wish. But I do think it takes a lot for a network that relies on content and hasn't had any live programming for a while. I mean, the Jordan documentary, we're all like really looking forward to because we haven't had live events for a while. So for our network to turn that down can really requires a lot of self-restraint, I would think, and is the responsible thing to do. Now, it is precisely because of what you said. If the and the reason, let me first address why it took that long. In my view, I understand that because it's really a feel thing. You have to kind of, you know, see which how things feel at that moment, and things have developed so rapidly and changed so quickly. Just think, you know, a couple of weeks ago, what is it, 3-4 weeks ago, we had no idea the world would be like this and we'd be living life like this. So a week out when Dana's saying, hey, yeah, we could have this event, you know, then a week goes by, still testing hasn't been scaled up, things like that. Maybe cooler heads prevail and say precisely for the reason you brought up, Stephen A., it will give people a false sense of confidence that, in fact, hey, we can get back to life as usual, particularly when there are some very irresponsible people saying some in positions of power and leadership saying some very irresponsible things and questioning aloud and seeming to push for, well, we can accept a certain, you know, mortality rate among the elderly in order to get the economy back to normal. In fact, the economy won't be back to normal for a while. Social distancing and even people who point to numbers and say, well, it's not so much worse than the flu. Well, that's because of social distancing. It would be far, far, far worse had we not done that. It's just difficult to prove a counterfactual, at least emotionally to people. Had we not gone through these extreme measures, it'd be a lot worse. And you wouldn't feel like we hadn't had to go through these extreme measures. And so for that reason, I think cooler heads prevailed and said, yes, he could probably pull this off. After all, the idea of social distancing is not that one of the fighters will get sick. It's that if you have a huge group of people together, then and they're vectors for diseases, the disease will spread. So Dana's thought is, well, if we don't have that many people, the disease won't really spread. We'll get the tests. We're okay. And I presume that Disney and ESPN, and I have not spoken to anyone at the company about this, so I could give you an independent thought. My presumption is that they thought, well, no, that really looks bad. It sends the wrong message. There aren't enough tests to go around, and we don't think the optics are good here. We don't think it's the responsible thing to do at this time.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN News. And again, that's the reaction of Max and Stephen A. to UFC 249. Being at this point postponed. I don't want to say canceled, but it's at least been postponed. It is not going to happen April 19th, or April 18th, I should say, as had been reported coming up to that. Now, as they made the point, Max and Stephen A. made the point, you know, fighter safety is difficult here, and what are the optics on all of it? I want to get a little deeper onto this. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. I want to get perspective from somebody that's right in the thick of it. So we'll go to ESPN MMA reporter Brett Okamoto joining us. Brett, first and foremost, I hope you're safe and well, my friend. I appreciate you giving us some time. What was your reaction to the news that it's been postponed?
Well, first off, man, yeah, I am doing well, and I hope the same for you, of course. My reaction to the news was a mixture of, you know, disappointment, understanding. I mean, everyone's aware of what's going on in the world, and I think, you know, a lot of people had some concerns over this event for good reason. You know, some of the answers and some of the information that I was getting in terms of, you know, some of the precautions they were going to take, and I think I was comfortable with the UFC moving forward as long as they were taking the proper precautions, which in my mind definitely included testing everybody for COVID-19, which, you know, I talked to some managers and some fighters and some cornermen who were going to travel, and they said that was their understanding. They were going to get tested, if not once, multiple times during this. So I was, you know, I was thinking that they could pull it off. I think the UFC is uniquely situated to pull it off, perhaps better than some other organizations, because they have so much control over exactly what an event looks like. But yeah, I would be lying if I said there wasn't a little bit of disappointment as well. I mean, I was looking forward to having some type of normalcy in sport happen next week.
I watched your interview with Dana White. We're talking to Brett Okamoto, ESPN MMA reporter. I watched a portion of it where he talked about the fact that they were ready to go, and then he got a call from the highest possible at Disney and ESPN, essentially asking to stand down, and he's respecting that. So as things come back to normal, what effect does that have on the relationship between Dana White and ESPN?
I think the relationship is really, really strong. You know, I mean, I was talking about it on another show this morning, and one of the hosts said that they're really familiar with Dana. They used to cover mixed martial arts, and they, you know, pointed out accurately that Dana doesn't stand down for anybody, man. I mean, he gets into a fight. He puts his gloves on and goes to war anytime somebody tells him not to do something. And he was really passionate about putting on this event. I mean, I think he almost took it in some ways as a personal challenge, where people were telling him, hey, not only should you maybe not do this, but you can't do this. You know, it's impossible to do this. And so he was really proud of himself and his staff for getting to a point where he really felt like he could go. But I think, it speaks to the respect that he has for some of the people at ESPN, because there aren't many people in the world who can tell Dana White, like, hey, stand down. And without him, you know, quite frankly, throwing a temper tantrum. And when I spoke to him, you know, I asked him that question. I said, how did you react to that news? And I think he was being genuine when he said, you know, I've had a good relationship with ESPN thus far. I think he respects the way that we cover sports, and the topics that we bring up and the platforms that we have. And he believes ESPN's involvement in mixed martial arts has been good for the sport. And so, you know, when they asked him a favor and said, hey, we've been with you from the start, but this is, you know, getting to a point where we're not comfortable with it anymore, I think he was disappointed, but he took it well.
We're talking to ESPN MMA reporter Brett Okamoto on First Take. Your take. I'm Jason Fitz. So what's next now for UFC?
Well, when we ended that interview, Dana White said, I'll see you in a month. And to me, you know, maybe it was him just, you know, casually saying something that didn't mean anything, but I look at some things here, right? So, you know, Las Vegas, for instance, is shut down until April 30th. You know, the White House has extended its, you know, recommendation that we do these social distancing measures until April 30th. The UFC's next pay-per-view event is May 9th. That to me seems like a goal of the UFC's. I mean, as recently as yesterday, they were talking to people about, you know, who's going to be on that card. That card was originally supposed to be in Brazil. I think now it'll happen either on this fight island that Dana's talking about, but probably more likely in the United States. If it happens in the United States, they're going to have to completely sort of redo the card because it had a lot of Brazilian fighters on it. I think it gives Dana, you know, a full month to, you know, get over the mourning process of putting in a lot of work to UFC 249 that didn't happen, but now also saying, okay, now we have a date in mind that we're targeting. Hopefully the world is in a little bit better spot by then. Hopefully ESPN is more comfortable with it by then. And we'll see what happens in Las Vegas as well, because I'm telling you, I have thought all along that eventually at some point the operations are going to resume in Vegas. That is going to be the hub for the UFC, because that is where they have a facility here that they can hold live fights without an audience. They can do it right here at their headquarters. They have everything they need. They have all the cameras and the lighting and the cage in place. So we'll see what happens in Vegas and around the world. But I think it's an optimistic date, but it's a possible date that they could be back by May 9th.
Well, and as I continue to remind everybody, few cities in America are more affected by all of this than the city of Las Vegas. So any opportunity to find work for that city right now is spectacular. Follow him on Twitter at B Okamoto ESPN. Brett, as always, great work, my friend. Thanks for hanging out with us. Stay safe.
Thanks, man. Always good talking to you. Take care.
So, again, that's the breaking news. Obviously, UFC 249 is now not happening. Fight Island, it may still be in the works, as Dana White insists that's still something they're working on, but we'll see what the next chapter is for UFC. In the meantime, there's also some NFL news that came down, and I find it funny because as I was talking to Mike Golic Jr. a few days ago on one of our shows that we do, it was Golic and Wingo, actually. We were looking at the Rams and Chargers rosters, and he jokingly said, has Brandon Cooks been traded yet? We joked about it, and now he has. That's right. Brandon Cooks has been traded from the Rams, including the $20 million dead cap money number that they're going to hit, has been traded to the Texans. So the question is, what should we make of the Brandon Cooks trade as he now comes to the Texans? Booger McFarland joined Max and Stephen A. to break down Bill O'Brien's job as GM of the Texans and what we should think of this transaction.
This is not a hard thing for me to say. Bill O'Brien needs to be fired as GM of the Houston Texans. I'm not saying he needs to be fired as coach, but he does not need to be running football operations for the Houston Texans. The man doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Either that or he allows his emotions to get in the way. He allowed that to be the case with Jadeveon Clowney. Laramie Tunsil has got more leverage than ever before because of Bill O'Brien and his ways. You got the Buffalo Bills giving up so much more for Stephon Diggs than Bill O'Brien got for DeAndre Hopkins. And now you get a guy in Brandon Cooks who's got a worse contract, has an injury-prone history. He's had like 5 concussions in 6 years that we know of. What the hell is the problem here? And then when you listen to Bill O'Brien talk, he sits up there and hides behind the fact that guys want money. Oh, I'm sorry. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the top 3 or 4 receivers in all of football, arguably with the best hands in football, does not drop passes. Who's on the receiving end of balls being thrown by one of the young stars in this business, in Deshaun Watson, who is a young star and on the rise and what have you, and you throw him to the wolves by getting rid of his best weapon, who's a Hall of Fame caliber weapon, and all you got to talk about, oh, well, you know what, the money, it wasn't that, when everybody and their mother knows you and DeAndre Hopkins were not on the same page. You did not get along. Well, guess what? DeAndre Hopkins was on the same page as Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson was on the same page as DeAndre Hopkins, but somehow, some way, Bill O'Brien gets in the way of that. And forgive me, Booger, but correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't there an issue with Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith, the now former GM of the Houston Texans? Didn't they have some kind of issue, and somehow, some way, Bill O'Brien ended up facilitating getting Rick Smith out of there? Rick Smith out of there? I mean, the guy has gotten rid of GMs. He's gotten rid of other employees. He's fired everybody but himself. You got rid of star players. You brought back bad contracts or whatever. I don't know what the hell else you need to do in order to prove that you ain't qualified for the damn job. Yes, he's had a winning record in 4 of the 6 seasons he's been there. He's been in the playoffs 4 times. I get all of that. But that doesn't mean he deserves to be the GM. This is a classic example of an individual that is in over his head, that has no business being in an executive position because he allows his emotions to get into the way of whatever business sense we believed he had, and he's going to waste the years of Deshaun Watson if you let him. Demote him, strip him of that executive title, restrict him to just being the coach, or get rid of him altogether. And if that doesn't work, then damn it, spare Deshaun Watson and trade him. That's what they should do.
I think the bigger issue is that Bill O'Brien has basically told us he wants to do it all. He wants to be the head coach and the GM. And although he has done a remarkable job as a head coach, going to the postseason as many times, even though he hadn't gotten deep into the playoffs, he's gone there several times. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. But he's been a disaster as a GM. But he's also told us he wants to do both. So if you're going to fire Bill O'Brien, the GM, you may as well get rid of Bill O'Brien, the head coach, because he doesn't want to work with anybody else. His actions have told us that he wants to do things his own way, a la Bill Belichick in New England. And I think the bigger issue here is caught up in all this is Deshaun Watson, arguably one of the better young quarterbacks in this league. He has to be sitting at home right now saying, I had a top three receiver in this league in DeAndre Hopkins. Now I have a guy in Brandon Cooks who has a concussion history. He drops footballs. And from a contract standpoint, we got rid of a guy that was making about $13 million a year. And Bill O'Brien didn't want to give him a raise for a worse contract in Brandon Cooks. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, I'm sitting at home right now and I'm evaluating where I'm going for the next 5 years. They always talk about in business and in life, what's your 5-year plan? I would walk in Bill O'Brien's office right now if I'm Deshaun Watson and say, hey, coach, GM, whatever you want me to call you, what's our 5-year plan? Because my job, and I want my career to go to a place where I could be a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I don't know right now if your planning and your team building is going to take me there. And so I think that's the bigger issue. Yeah, as a GM, we've all stated, he's been terrible. You don't get rid of DeAndre Hopkins and bring on Brandon Cooks and David Johnson. That's terrible. But the bigger issue is the position we're all trying to fill, the quarterback. He has one. What's your plan for your quarterback in Deshaun Watson? And right now, I think that is the biggest thing going on in Houston. After we get through beating up on Bill O'Brien, and deservedly so, for all the terrible moves that he's made, going back to Clowney, Hopkins, and now Brandon Cooks and David Johnson, Bill, what's your bigger picture for Deshaun Watson? Because if you don't have a picture for Deshaun Watson, you may as well trade him the hell out of there, too, and start over, because I think that's the key for this team going forward.
Save water this spring. Get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed. Saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. It's first take, your take. Going to be interesting to see what happens. There should be more pressure on Bill O'Brien. There should have been more pressure on Bill O'Brien. We'll keep breaking that down. Plus, your take on the worst trades your favorite team has ever made in honor of Bill O'Brien's terrible work. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, the XFL breaking news. Suspended operations today. Is it the end of the road for Vince McMahon's Football League? We'll talk about it next with an expert. We'll do all of that. First take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I'm asking you guys to chime in. The worst trade your favorite team ever made. Now that we've seen a little bit more of Bill O'Brien, the GM, trading for Brandon Cooks from the Rams, the wide receiver, only weeks after trading away DeAndre Hopkins. So more in the honor of that, in spirit of that, the worst trade your team has ever made. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Love getting some of your take in on this, as you guys have a lot to say about bad trades. I get it. I get everybody wants to sort of vent on this, and I don't take anything away from that. In the meantime, we did have some breaking news just before we came to air. This from the SportsCenter account on Twitter, breaking the XFL suspended operations Friday morning and laid off nearly all of its staff. Multiple sources told Kevin Seifert and Field Yates the league currently has no plans to return in 2021. So I want to get more expertise on it. And one of the guys I just mentioned is Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider. He joins us right now on First Take, Your Take, Field. First and foremost, I hope you guys are staying healthy. Thanks for a little time today. This was surprising news to me to come down, especially because I can't seem to get clarity on whether or not there will be XFL football in 2021. What sense do you have on that?
Yeah, my sense fits. And first of all, thanks for having me on and for checking in, and same to you in terms of staying healthy during these trying times. But my sense is that the XFL, as we know it, is now over. And that, unfortunately, is not the news anybody wanted to hear, because the league seemed to have done a nice job of building some momentum during the short period of games we had in this late winter and early spring as well. So I think the XFL probably has to go into hibernation. And I don't know that they're necessarily going to call us or announce today that the league is done, but I don't get the sense that we'll see XFL football in 2021. And it may be fit that this league may need to eventually reboot later on down the road.
So, Field, is it as simple as COVID-19, the shortened season ended it all for them?
Yeah, Fitz, I think that's probably the easiest way to put it. Now, we'll learn more about this later on, but from what I was told, that was basically the explanation. And these are trying times for everybody, and the economic impact, beyond certainly the medical impact and the health impact, is the greatest impact that we are all living through right now, but the economic impact is substantial and small businesses are struggling. And I know that people don't think of the XFL as a small business relative to your local coffee shop or something like that, but the reality is this is not one of the four major pro sports leagues where we'll see whether the NBA or the NHL or the MLB resume, or in the case of the MLB, start up their 2020 seasons. But the reality is that those leagues, even if they do either have to have a very abbreviated season or no season at all, can still point to 2021 and beyond. In the case of the XFL, that was not the case, despite some of the strides that it made. I thought really being a nice sort of change-up during the offseason for those of us that have an insatiable appetite for football.
So there are some people reporting that the NFL, or the XFL, I'm sorry, was the understanding that there was funding for, you know, a minimum of 2 years. I understand the shortage of games, but are you surprised that now we're just suddenly done?
Yeah, well, Fitz, I would say this, I've heard that same thing, that they expected to have funding for 2 years, but things changed dramatically, right? Like, I think you can sort of bank on funding for 2 years when you expect to have a full season worth of television revenue coming your way, and ticket sales and concession sales and paraphernalia sales and things like that, right? Like, I think it's a little bit different than just saying, hey, we've got 2 years worth of funding sitting there in the bank to get us through no matter what happens. I mean, I shouldn't say no one, but very few people saw this coming or had any plans for this. What we're dealing with right now with COVID-19, so it's a surprise because of the fact that it seems like the XFL had a chance to be not the minor league of the NFL, but at least something that we could count on as being somewhat of a breeding ground for NFL talent, or a reminder in the case of someone like PJ Walker, who did not sustain during his first NFL career, that maybe he's got a chance to fit in that league long term. But it's unfortunate news, Fitz, because I really admired not just those that were playing on the field, and certainly first and foremost those guys playing on the field, but also all the people that worked incredibly hard to produce that league week in and week out. And the coverage on television was fantastic as well.
We're talking to ESPN NFL insider Field Yates, and again, the breaking news today that the XFL at this point has laid everyone off, and it looks like it may be done as a league. We'll see where it goes from there. Field, since I got you, I got to ask you one NFL question. We were just talking about Bill O'Brien, the GM. What was your reaction to Brandon Cooks being traded for the acquisition by the Texans?
You know, something, Fitz, I actually am going to, and I hope to have the forum to do this sometime, I'm going to try to figure out what the Texans are doing or articulate why I think they made each of these moves. The easy answer is, wow, the Texans have no idea what they're doing and Bill O'Brien isn't over his head as a GM. I think there's a lot more to it, Fitz. I really do. And I think that in acquiring Brandon Cooks, you're acquiring a player that has proven production. I know he's been traded 3 times, but I made the analogy to Tobias Harris on Twitter last night. And it's that, like, he's really talented and really young, not quite transcendent enough that you have to hang on to him, but also valuable enough that a lot of teams are going to want Brandon Cooks. So I think that in totality, the moves from the Texans have been confusing to many. But I really will tell you, Fitz, like, at some point, I think there's a chance to kind of wrap our heads around what they've done in aggregate and say, you know something, it may not have been the way that every other team would have gone about it, but, like, let's take a look and see if they've gotten better or if they've at least, you know, kind of kept their presence. And basically what I'm trying to say is I'm not as down as basically everybody else is on all the moves the Texans are making.
Well, if there's anybody that can figure it out, it's you. Follow him on Twitter at Field Yates. Field, stay healthy, my friend. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate you.
All right. Take care, bud.
Great stuff from Field again on the news that we've gotten. XFL employees have been informed the league suspending operations. All employees have been laid off. It looks like the XFL not only done for this year, but there's a strong chance the XFL is permanently closing their doors. We're also asking you, I feel like this is downer on deck, but in the spirit of the Brandon Cooks trade that we were just talking to Field about, we're asking you for the worst trade your favorite team has ever made. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Doriel in Charlotte, what do you got? What's your worst trade?
The worst trade is Kobe Bryant for Vlade Divac. Because if Kobe Bryant never gets traded to the Lakers, the Hornets never go to New Orleans, the Pelicans don't exist, the Hornets never go to Oklahoma City, so the Thunder might still be in Seattle.
Wow. Look at, you know what? You're not wrong. Like, you can put all of those pieces together from that one trade. So the entire dynamic of the NBA trade changes because of Kobe Bryant being traded. A lot of people forget that the Hornets initially picked him. Nikki in Indiana. Nikki, what do you got as your worst trade?
Whenever Ryan Grigson traded a first round draft pick to get Trent Richardson to the Colts, and that was a total flop.
Oh, Nikki, that's a good one too. You're right. And I think a lot of people bid on Trent Richardson over time thinking that it was going to work out and they could get the most out of him. And it just never seemed to happen. I want you guys to keep chiming in. The worst trade for your favorite team, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We're going to take some more of your calls, read your tweets. Plus, which NBA championship caliber team is Stephen A. sleeping on? You hear it next. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. If you missed the first hour of today's show, it's on demand in the First Take Your Take podcast. Go check it out. A couple of great guests on some big news right now. It's brought to you by the Capital One Quick Saver Card, earning unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere. What's in your wallet? I'm going to get your calls in just a second. Right after this, we're going to get some of your calls. The worst trade your favorite team has ever made. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll share in some misery in the honor of Bill O'Brien's strange moves together. Before we get there, quickly, Stephen A. was joined by Jay Williams today because there's a question about the pause in the NBA season. Does it make a change in the title pick for any of the guys? In fact, Jay Williams, by the way, in my court, because he believes Stephen A. and Max are sleeping on an important team.
I am tired of letting you two cheat the American public of what's right in front of your face. I've been on this show this entire year, and the amount of disrespect that has come out of your mouths for the Milwaukee Bucks continues to blow my mind. To blow my mind. I understand what LeBron James is. I understand what the Clippers are. But we're not talking about the best team in basketball. We're not talking about the best team with the best record, with a guy who's going to MVP again. And I know LeBron James was making a huge run for the MVP towards the end. But we all acknowledge that this is Giannis's MVP that he's going to get. This team is well-oiled. Yeah, Giannis had an injury down the stretch. But it's like for 1 second, you guys even make mention of the Milwaukee Bucks. It's like there's no team from the Eastern Conference that even exists. Right. One of the most dominant players. Max, I've heard you say that he's one of the most dominant players we've seen since Shaquille O'Neal. Stephen A., I've heard you talk about how incredible he is and how he's on a mission and he's not being friends with anybody. And you like the fact that he doesn't work out with other guys and have all that stuff. But nobody makes mention of the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, how many times are we going to disrespect the best team in basketball? It just blows my mind. Every time I come on the show, nobody even makes mention of their name. Not once. Yes, Stephen A.
Jay, are you accused? I just want to ask you, are you accusing? I need a quick one-word answer here. Are you accusing me of sleeping on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Yes.
Okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you why you're wrong.
Yes.
You're wrong. Let me tell you why you're wrong. I'm not sleeping on them. I'm snoring. Snoring on them. Literally, give me a pillow.
You're so disrespectful.
I'm snoring on them. Okay, let me tell you why. I'm just going to tell you why.
Please do.
The Greek freak is something special. I believe, based on watching the league and covering it, I think that come playoff time, the game slows to a degree. Defenses are able to get back. And you force individuals to lean more towards their perimeter game, A. And B, you know why? It's not really about him, Jay. But all of those other guys, even though they can play and they're damn good, and Budenholzer is an exceptional coach, I don't believe that come championship time, you can rely on those dudes to show up. I believe that the people around him will fold when it really counts, and that is why I am snoring. I didn't say sleeping. Snoring.
When the championship game comes around, you think guys like Avery Bradley, Rajon Rondo, Kyle Kuzma, that
no, I think LeBron,
than,
I think LeBron and
Milwaukee
Anthony
Bucks
Davis.
Have.
I think that LeBron and Anthony Davis against Milwaukee, LeBron and Anthony Davis will be more than enough. Yes, I do believe that.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I believe that Stephen A's been sleeping on the Bucks. I hope they get the chance to prove him wrong. In the meantime, I'm not sleeping on you guys. You want to get it off your chest. The worst trade your favorite team has ever made. Chi in Virginia. Chi, what you got?
Hey, what's up, bud? I'm a Chicago Bears fan, and worst trade is us trading the second pick for Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, especially when Watson and Mahomes were there. And as a Raiders fan, you know what? I've got foul words for you on that one, too, because, my God, if you could have just gotten Mahomes out of my division, it would have changed a generation for me. Thanks. Austin in Pennsylvania. Austin, what you got as the worst trade?
Worst trade is Dave Stewart trading Danzy Swanson for Shelby Miller.
Oh, okay. So was there, like, a memory for you on that one?
Nah, just Dave Stewart just ruining our team for like 2 years with bad trade.
That's the worst, too, that comes out of these worst trades, because you just get to watch it slowly go downhill, obviously, for him. So let's take a look next at Mitch in Florida. What do you have is the worst trade?
The worst trade possibly in baseball ever in 1971. Nolan Ryan for Jim Fregosi.
You know, the great thing about that, and I appreciate it, we've gotten a lot of tweets about that one. We forget about it. Recency bias sort of sticks in for all of us. We forget about that one because you're right, the impact it had to an entire generation of baseball. Anthony, what you got is the worst trade your favorite team ever made?
Man, listen, I'm a diehard Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. I'm going to go a little bit old school on you. 1984, we traded Hall of Famer Steve Young to the 49ers for a second and a fourth round pick. Later that year, we got Vinny Testaverde, who threw more interceptions than anybody.
No, see, that is, I remember that as a kid, and we all sort of dealt with that as the 49ers ended up going on their massive run. Jared in Minnesota, what do you got? Worst trade? Oh, Minnesota, I can only imagine what this is. Worst trade for your favorite team?
Hey, man, I want to appreciate, first of all, for you guys being on the air. Thanks for saying have a happy Friday. It's my birthday. And
happy birthday.
The Herschel Walker trade. Was terrible for the Vikes. Dallas got several championships, and that's just a long list of being a diehard Vikings fan. But you know what? They might win the Super Bowl in 2021.
Look at that. You know, I love the optimism, but yeah, you're right. It's again, you're talking about, we've had a lot of tweets. Speaking of massive trades, we've had a lot of tweets that have come in for the Ricky Williams trade. Remember that at that point, Mike Ditka traded the entire draft to get Ricky Williams. So a good reminder there. Also getting some recent bias here. Harleen says the Mookie trade pretty high up on the list for Boston. I'm surprised we haven't heard more of that with the Mookie stuff going on. A lot of Raiders fans chiming in, not only, as I said, with Mac, but also Gruden to the Bucks put us past back 15 years. So plenty of those out there that I'm getting. I've had a few people chime in and say Gretzky from Edmonton. But you know what? As a kid in the U.S. growing up at the time, that was a great trade because I was in Vegas. So it made the Kings relevant, and it sort of made hockey relevant to a whole generation down here. So two sides to that coin. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, more of your calls. Plus, is Jimmy G getting too much blame? You'll hear next. First, take your take.